Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Putke. If you're a huge college softball fan, you're in the right place. We can't wait to share the weekly D1 softball news, bring you interviews from all over the country, provide in-season game analysis, the top 25, and much, much more. Stick around. Episode 17 of the D1 Softball Podcast. Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Putke. Rhee, how are you doing this holiday week?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. There's a lot going on. You've got Christmas, just managing families and COVID tests and figuring out, and just happy to have a Christmas and be able to spend time with a few people, a few family members. But other than that, can't wait for New Year's Eve as well.
Yeah, I think everything's gonna be pretty low key for me, and every holiday has been, which is honestly not out of the norm for me, but even more so this year. Trying to get all the work done so I can maybe sneak in a Christmas movie to feel like it's actually Christmas. Maybe I just haven't felt like it's been lately. Trying to maybe get some Christmas music on, but this podcast is great because it gives me something to look forward to. So that's, if I can't do the Christmas movies yet, I have the D1 Softball Podcast to cheer me up and get me in the spirit.
Yeah, I've been binge watching the Great British Bake Off holiday series. So lots of baking. I'm not actually a really great baker, but for some reason, the Great British Bake Off, watching that is very calming in all the madness. So that's probably the most of my holiday movies. And and I did watch The Holiday. So those are my two holiday viewings.
Yeah, I have to get in. I mean, I'm cutting it down to the deadline here, but I got to get in my annual Home Alone and Christmas Vacation. Those are my go-tos. And yep. I know a lot of people watch Hallmark. I don't, but every time I turn it on, it seems to be the same people and it's just a different movie. It's like the same character. Like my mom watches it and I'm like, wasn't she just in the last one? And my mom's like, but this is a different one. So I probably should get more on that train, but I kind of just stick to the old classics. So that's if I can squeeze those two in by Christmas Day, that'll be a successful Christmas movie watching for Rhiannon, with the, Home Alone and then Christmas Vacation. Cause I got to see Clark Griswold and the family, Fast Eddie and everyone there. So.
Yeah, those are two staples and big in our household as well. The Hallmark Channel, I think we could talk about that for hours. Same thing in my household with my mom. I think she's on day five of Hallmark viewing all day long. And you're right. It seems like it's the same actors.
Yeah, every time I pass by, I'm like, wasn't she in the other one? this is just a different type of city she's in. It's a different, she's either, I don't know. But whatever, if it makes people happy and feel like that's great. That's what Hallmark Channel's for, right?
Yes.
I'm kind of mad because I used to have my Golden Girls window at 10 p.m. where I'd kind of get, and the Hallmark movie, the Christmas is not Golden Girls off the schedule for a bit. But, I know it's only for a short period, and it's kind of just makes me more grateful when they'll come back, because it's only reruns you can find everywhere. But that was my calming when I went to, I'd watch sports and then I'd turn on Golden Girls for 20 minutes just to kind of calm down and then go to sleep. Cause
who's your favorite Golden Girl?
Oh God, I love Sophia and Dorothy. I like Sophia cause but Dorothy, just the way she's got that humor, that subtle, just her responses, and those, she's really, really good with the humor that's kind of more subtle than obvious, so she cracks me up with some of her one-liners. but they're all great. I can't, it's like picking a favorite. I don't have children, but that would be like picking a favorite child.
Yeah. So we'll get into the softball, which this is what the podcast is somewhat about. This week we released a few fall reports, and we had our special guest. She's on as well. Another fall report head coach, Yvette Healy from Wisconsin. We had Virginia as well as Florida State. Ree, anything sticking out in terms of Florida State, what they've got going down there in Tallahassee?
Nothing that sticks out that was hugely surprising, but I think the thing that I really enjoyed about the Florida State was that they're used to kind of dealing with, like, you know, Lonnie kind of schedules it to be challenging and she doesn't want everything the same each year. So they're having to be different is not out of the norm for them. So that was the big thing. And having Caitlin Arnold back to lead that staff, they're going to have a good pitching staff again, Kat Sandrock and all those girls, and they're getting healthy. She said this was key for them for health. Last year was kind of a year where they had some injuries. So look for them to be healthier and better. And we discussed the ACC schedule, how that, you know, they're excited to play up to 50 games. But read it all at d1softball.com. There's a lot more that Lonnie will tell you about in that story.
Yeah, and then we had Virginia as well. Coach Harden talked about the youth that they had last year. They had almost every single starter was an underclassman except two. So they gained valuable experience just in the ACC with Clemson joining the ACC and playing Virginia Tech in their second weekend of conference play. So again, Virginia's up as well on d1softball.com. With that said, we're going to get into our interview of the week, and please enjoy. All right, and we are joined for a special holiday podcast by Yvette Healy, the head coach of Wisconsin, entering her 11th season there. We can't believe she's been there for 11 seasons. Former DePaul player, 1999, two-time All-American as well, with a .424 batting average back in the day, and still leads with 102 steals there at DePaul. Yvette, welcome. How are you? How are you doing this holiday season?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on. It's funny, you know, this is the holiday season. You might as well talk about old stats. I think if you're with your families, those are the only people that will ever bring that up. So besides this podcast, how fun is that to talk about when you've been out of playing as long as I have? Nobody talks about that anymore. So that's hilarious. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thanks for joining us. So talk to me a little bit about what's happening in Wisconsin. You've had a couple of weeks of fall ball up there. You've since closed. How was the fall for you?
You know, it was just so great to get back on campus. I think from a mental wellness standpoint for our student athletes, we were thrilled to have some in-person classes. I know everybody was different. We had a little bit of, our students had a little bit of that hybrid model. You know, we got shut down right when we were about to start. And so we weren't sure if we'd get practice in, and then we wound up getting about 4 weeks in with the team before another shutdown. And just so grateful to see those new young faces, especially those freshmen coming off of finishing high school and, you know, not necessarily graduating high school on the note that they all wanted, losing those seasons. So to see those young ones step on the field and get to compete and put the W on their chest, it was really fun for our staff to see that fresh squad.
And we talked a little bit about this last week in terms of Wisconsin was the first school to announce that there were seniors returning, and you had that massive senior class there. How was that transition with your seniors, and how was that conversation that you had with them?
You know, I can't say that it's even over yet, that's just such a class that we love so much, especially during the holidays. You know, we're talking to them and sending out cards and reminiscing that they were just such a special class. And, you know, as coaches, you work so hard to put together some tremendous classes, and sometimes the stars line up and you strike gold. And I really feel like that's what that class was for us, that, you know, you get a pitcher in Kate Menz who her freshman year wins 20 games for you and gets you back in the NCAA tournament. And we're able to go 3 years in a row with that crew. And Kayla Conwen is the only Big Ten player of the year to ever come out of Wisconsin. And, you know, having her play in her first regional in 2019, and we just saw what a bright future she had. And, you know, for those players to not come back, it's hard to, as a coach, you know their potential. It's hard to put it to bed, but they were just such a gracious group, so mature about the whole thing, about moving on and, you know, starting the next chapter of their lives. So I give them a lot of credit. I think they helped our staff as much as we helped them cope through that.
Yvette, on that instance, I know Wisconsin was one of the first few to make the announcement, like, we can't afford to, you know, extend scholarships to people coming back. Like, they just, there was a reality. Barry Alvarez said that. I'm sure a lot of people just didn't say it publicly. Were you expecting that? Or is that something that you figured, like, we just need to get in front of this and be honest at the forefront of it?
You know, I think it's always been, we're such an academic institution, and it really has always been academics first. We recruit really intelligent young women that are, you know, most of them going on to graduate school or starting some kind of professional career. And that was really at the front of that push of saying, you know, we're committed to getting them through 4 years, and that class graduated in four. You know, so you had people finishing up, and I think with all the uncertainty, that was really the push of how are we going to tell these young women to come back for a year that is in so much flux, with really not knowing, you know, to put their lives on hold after they've finished a degree, to maybe start something that they might not necessarily even finish a grad school degree in the program. And so it was hard, but at the same time, I definitely saw that side now as we're dealing with an abbreviated schedule, you know, a Big Ten only season. I think some people that came back for that fifth year are even looking at that saying, wow, this was really tough to put delay kind of the next years without getting that same experience this year too.
And so we talked about scheduling in the Big Ten. So the Big Ten is slowly going, or has gone, towards conference only, maybe some games in the beginning. Is that what you're hearing in the Big Ten?
Yeah, that looks like that's what we're going to be doing. You know, from a testing perspective, everyone feels really comfortable of having the same protocols. So, you know, we're lucky that we have such a great conference. You know, as someone who got to play in some smaller conferences where you only were going to get one team in the NCAAs, and got to coach in some smaller conferences where you really couldn't even get an at-large bid. We're fortunate that if you're going to go to a conference only, thank goodness we're in a conference like the Big Ten that, dang, it's so competitive and there's so many rivalries that, you know, we're going to have just a phenomenal schedule. And getting to watch some people do that in the fall and play conference only, I think when you're in a really powerhouse conference, you've got the ability to still deliver that really great experience, which is, you know, what we're all trying to do right now. And in light of the things that are not working, we're trying to focus on what does work. And thank goodness we have such, you know, we're excited to play Northwestern and Michigan, and, you know, that gets the juices flowing.
Yvette, on that scheduling thing, when we're talking about that, obviously schools like the location of schools like yours, it's a huge impact, because a lot of your, you know, you can't play for that early part because it's usually snow on the ground or cold. How do you feel like that? How is that going to impact? Was that something that it just seemed logical because you would have to travel to go other places normally to get games in order? Is that, and do you know if the start's going to be a little delayed because of that? Because,
you know, everything is in flux. I think, you know, we're going to look for those fall sports to get scheduled before we even do. So you've got the Big Ten volleyballs, which is tremendous, and soccers that have to get scheduled before which is so hard for all of us because we're such planners and we like to have our hotels ready and our flights. Travel is a tough part of it, you know, and understanding what you're going to do with quarantining and traveling. And, you know, we're a group that we fly a lot. We feel fortunate we don't have to bus to everything. But we don't charter a ton. Sometimes we do, and some teams in our conference charter more. So figuring that travel piece out is so tough. So we at least know regionally when we bus, we're going to be able to get to places, and we feel really confident that way. And if we can add on some spring travel within conference, we'd be really thrilled. I think that's the goal that everybody wants, to see that happening from a bubble type format. But it's still, we're just trying to get it all finalized and worked out.
And I'm sure your freshmen who just arrived on campus this year are dealing with that. Let's change gears and talk a little bit about your freshmen. You've got six incoming freshmen. We talked about men's, you lose men's in the circle, but you're excited about, you know, Schwartz coming in there, and you've got a few freshmen. Talk to me about the freshman class.
Well, you know, before you go into the freshman, you've got Haley Hestekin as a senior. So she's a pitcher from Wisconsin. She's got our most experience and has thrown some just really good games for us. So we're looking for big things from her. And then Maddie Schwartz is a local regional Minnesota kid that spins the ball, that is really talented. And I think when Kate talked about not coming back, that was one of her big things of saying, you know, I'm excited to see Maddie get the ball. This is her time to shine. You know, we're in the business of making memories, and we say that all the time. And, you know, Kate so graciously said, Coach, I have so many great memories. I can't wait for Maddie to be the one. So you've got those two older pitchers. Maddie's gotten some innings, but really hasn't had a chance to be the workhorse yet. And I think she's thrilled about that. And then we brought in two pitchers in the freshman class, you know, and thank goodness that in this year where it looks different and you could be playing a 4-game conference series in a weekend, Gabby Salo's a hard thrower from the UP, the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, which, if you know your geography, we Northerners, that puts you almost in Wisconsin. So they are Packers season ticket holders that can handle the cold and make their way right down to Wisconsin. And she chucks. And she's a small kid, and we call her a little honey badger, that she, you know, she's just a little competitor and, you know, has a big heart. And then we were also brought in Ava, who's going to be just a tremendous lefty pitcher for us too. And so to have those two diverse arms, I think, and competitors is really kind of a fun part for us.
And then Gerardo, that's what we say her name, Gerardo. We talked about this.
Yes, Fiona.
Yeah, Fiona's back. Talk to me a little bit about how your infield's shaping up and what you see in the infield.
Well, Fiona's a local Chicago kid, played for the Illinois Chill, and we've had some really successful kids like Kayla Conwent and Steph Lombardo come out of that program. But what a hitter. She had a tremendous freshman year, played third for us, you know, can swing it, powerful, and just a funny, smart kid. And so she's our kind of player that when you get this really high academic, big personality kid like she is, you know, she had some experience with the Irish junior national team. So we're looking for big things from her, and she just keeps getting better. So she'll be fun to watch it at third base, and she's a middle, so she could really play anywhere too.
And with all of the COVID and coronavirus, the pandemic and all the Zoom calls, how have you been doing with the team building? We talked a little bit about, you know, as a coaching staff, what you've kind of done, but what have you done as a team in terms of getting that team building aspect going?
I think, thank goodness, I got my degree in teaching. I was a business major and then went back and got my master's in secondary English. And I'm calling on all of those resources to kind of do book clubs and Zoom calls and, you know, talk about that leadership side, and then just talk about the sports psychology side. I think that's such a big part of our game. We always had Wellness Wednesdays in years past where we'd bring in our sports psychologists. We might, you know, have chapters in a book. We might work through things. So we're just continuing that, doing a lot of that kind of Wellness Wednesday type work where we're reflecting on some, you know, podcasts that we saw. We're breaking into small groups and, you know, talking about what it means to be selfless, how to be a great teammate. And, you know, we've never done that and wasted time. And I think that's what coaches, I wish more coaches would hear that, you know, sometimes even as a female coach, you think, am I bringing too much of that softer skill to the game? And every time we do it, they just trust each other more. They're ready to take chances. They're not afraid to fail. And so, you know, we're taking advantage of that and trying to really work that side of the game with them and get to know each other better, you know, ask some tough questions of what it means to, you know, to be a woman of Wisconsin softball and how they're going to give back in their communities. And so I think we're helping them kind of be leaders at home right now in this 2-month break that these poor college kids are getting right now. We're so anxious to get them back on campus, but it's still going to be a bit.
That you kind of insinuated you had a bachelor's in marketing and communications, right, at DePaul, and then master's in secondary and education, yeah, and English too on top of it. I mean, that English major, that's ridiculously so much reading that alone, just kudos to you for even trying that. But right out of college, you were director of marketing for the Chicago Bulls and the Chicago White Sox Academy.
Mm-hmm. I got Yeah, I got involved with their kids program. So I think I've always been one to just kind of volunteer and work camps and, you know, get involved that way. And they needed someone that was going to help promote all their grassroots things and grow a love of the game. And that's something so much about what I love of this game. I mean, I'm a competitor, but it's the opportunities that this game creates for our young women that I just think makes it so priceless. And so, you know, unfortunately I'm a Cubs fan. So it was hard getting this job with, you know, and free tickets to the White Sox. But I thought that was my dream job. And it kind of showed me too, just how much I loved sports and softball, you know, how much I miss that side of it. So if you can get your dream job and still volunteer and coach your high school varsity team and, you know, work out with summer teams like the Bandits, I helped coach there a little bit. You know, it made me realize how much I loved that part of giving back.
Yeah, that's something to give up for. That's awesome that you really realized your love of coaching through having those opportunities and still wanting to coach. That's pretty neat. Did you know that you wanted to go into coaching, or were you tempted to stay in that area of marketing and communications, or did you really just know, like, no, I got to go to coaching?
No, I loved business. I thought I'd do it my whole life, that I was a fan of just, you know, you grow up in Chicago, you go to a school like DePaul where you're in the city in Lincoln Park and you're working downtown. And it was thrilling. It was really a cool thing, but you know, you find out where your passion is and what wakes you up early. And even while I was working there, I was still getting up early in the morning and volunteering and coaching high school teams and coaching summer. And, you know, where you get your energy at, I think that's kind of your God moment or your calling. And so for me, I was still getting up at 5 in the morning to help volunteer and coach. And I thought there might be something to this. So when Eugene Lenti called me about an opening on his staff to go back to your alma mater, and I just had so much respect for what he built at a little mid-major school, it was just such an easy decision for me to kind of walk away and take a big pay cut and make my family a little bit sad, you know, hearing that I wasn't going to live this obviously kind of glitzier life. And, you know, I've never looked back, and it's been the best path for me.
No more free tickets, man. That family, that they start to get sad real quick. But they get free softball tickets. So there's a trade-off, right?
Yeah, they get lots of camp t-shirts. You know, they're all repping the W. Now since when you get to a level like Wisconsin and gotten to experience coming to Big Ten tournaments and flying out to Oregon and watching the team in the NCAAs, I think now they're like, of course you did this. It seems so obvious.
Awesome.
Well, speaking of family, do you have any Christmas or holiday traditions that you go through every year? There's something special that you do in the house?
Well, we're making way too many cookies. I have a 12-year-old daughter who is quite the baker. So we're always doing that. We've got the big fresh Christmas tree. So we get the live tree out here. And if you're in Wisconsin, you've got to be an outdoorsy person. So we just love the weather that we are snowboarding and haven't ice skated yet, but we are ready. We're on a lake. So as soon as it freezes, everyone will be in the backyard and out that way. But we're out and about in the winter a lot. And we've been sledding already. I think I pulled a muscle sledding with the kids, you know, now more than ever, I think outdoor activities are the safest thing everyone feels great about doing. So we are bundling up and getting out there, and it makes the spring not feel so cold. You can weather the winter.
I don't think there's any age where you outgrow sledding or getting on one of those. Like, you just, like, there's like a compulsion. Like, you see it a hill and you're like, okay, I'm on it. Let's go.
Maybe there should be. We laugh all the time. My husband's like, you're not 21. And I'm like, I know. I hear that from him a lot. And having young kids, it's a fun part of being able to do the hot chocolate and, you know, all of that kind of adventure stuff. So we've been lucky to be here in Wisconsin and start a lot of traditions up here as a family too.
Well, let's put you on the hot seat Christmas wise. What's a favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, you know, Elf is a big one in our house, but I hate to say, I don't know if it counts as a Christmas movie, but my kids are obsessed with Daddy's Home, which is like an odd Will Ferrell, you know, Mark Wahlberg. And we started like one of our rundown clips with the team. When we come back, we'll do a lot of chalk talk. we'll do it differently this year, but we bring them in, kind of show them some film, talk about how we're going to do it. And we started our rundown session with a snowball scene where he's kind of pump faking a snowball, like he's going to throw it. And the athletes, you know, the student athletes just roll on the ground like, coach, that's terrible. I'm like, well, it's just trying to get you guys ready to learn, get ready for rundowns. No pump fakes.
How about a Christmas song, favorite Christmas music?
We're a pretty religious family. So we, you know, we love any, you know, Star of Wonder, Star of Night type sing-along things. And we took the girls out last night with our boots on to go see the star, and it's nice and dark and apart. So we were playing our Christmas songs and trudging out, going to look, and we got a pretty good view of the star. So that was kind of a cool thing.
That's awesome. All right, last one for me is just even dating back to your childhood, what was the most nostalgic or best gift you can remember getting, whether it be from your parents or Santa or relatives?
I'm such an activity person for gifts. And we, growing up in Chicago, we sometimes would do midnight mass and then go downtown, and they used to do carriage rides. I think it's maybe, you know, not great for the horses anymore, but you do a horse-drawn carriage ride around the city with the lights lit up. And so that was probably one of the coolest memories I can remember. I have a sister who's a year older, and doing that with my parents was like, I just thought it was the coolest experience.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool.
Well, perfect, Yvette. Thank you so much for joining us on the D1 Softball Podcast. You have an open invitation to come and join us anytime. And hopefully when season starts, fingers crossed, we can have you back on and you can give us an update on how you all are doing.
Thank you so much. Let's get some softball going in 21. I think this could be just a wild shoot 'em out, different kind of year. And gosh, I'm glad to be at a school that it's not easy all the time, because I'm like, we are ready for some adversity. Some people are built for it, so this could be an interesting one. Thanks for all you guys do, too. We really appreciate the coverage and, you know, the time on the holidays, too. This is really such a great thing for our sport. Thank you.
Coach Yvette Healy, she is just, she's so wonderful to talk to, and sounds like they're making the most of it up there in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was a really fun interview. I really enjoyed it. I think we could have gone on for, you know, another hour, but we know people have holiday plans that they want to get to, and they're probably listening to this while drinking some hot chocolate, watching Christmas movies. I'm sure that this podcast is part of that, but Yvette's great. I mean, she's got so much depth and substance to her beyond just softball that we're hoping to have her on again. That was a really enjoyable conversation.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see how those new newcomers mix in. And they're really good there up in Wisconsin with homegrown talent. And I really like how that staff develops players there. So it's going to be fun to watch them in 2021. With that said, Ree, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Anything fun on the docket for this week?
No, pretty low-key Christmas. I'm assuming like most people, just grateful for everything. You know, I know there's been a lot of like down in the dumps, you know, that we can't wait for 2021 to get here. But there's also a lot to be grateful for. And I'm just trying to keep that in perspective these next few days and realize that, you know, there's people that are way worse than people. So we just try to be kind to other people. That's my big message for the holidays, and enjoy whoever you're around. And if you can't be around someone, I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas to anyone that has to be alone, because I know that's hard too. But just know that hopefully in the future, that won't be the case. And if you need anyone, feel free to reach out to us anytime. We're always willing to, I'll call you personally, wish you a Merry Christmas if that's needed.
So, with that said, Merry Christmas from the D1 Softball family. Happy holidays. And enjoy your time with your family, your friends. And if you need us, we're always here.